Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear the first in a series of tape-recorded lectures by Mr. George Adamski. While these lectures do not pretend to solve all of the mysteries surrounding the flying saucers, it is our hope to bring you a little closer to the truth about these spacecraft and their appearance in our own world. Mr. George Adamski is well known for his two books written on the subject of the flying saucers. His first book, published in 1953, was titled Flying Saucers Have Landed and was co-authored by Mr. Desmond Leslie, while the second book, published in 1955, is called Inside the Spaceships. This first lecture is of current interest as it covers Mr. Adamski's analysis of the statement recently made by Mr. Donald Quarles, Secretary of the Air Force. In his public statement, the Secretary said that the sighting of so-called flying saucers were mere illusions. Mr. Quarles' statement has caused a great deal of comment and controversy in view of the fact that about 28% of all reported sightings have been made by pilots of the Air Force. Many people are now wondering if Mr. Quarles mean to infer that the defense of our nation is in the hands of men afflicted with illusions. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. George Adamski.
This is November the 8th, 1955. George Adamski speaking. I will try to analyze the recent announcement by the Secretary of the Air Force, where he states that there is no such a thing as flying saucers, basing it on one thing, and that is that we're having one that will soon be flying, and not to mistake this one for flying saucers. Yet he leaves percentages there of non-identified objects, which gives plenty room for spaceships to be there. Now, as far as the flying saucer is concerned, that was a wrong name given to them in the first place. It should have been called interplanetary or spacecraft, or we might say spaceships, as they should have been called in the beginning. So, we're trying to analyze this condition, and we'd like to find out here what is the reason that they keep telling the people things like these and keep confusing them all the time instead of telling them the truth. For an example, right after the announcement was made by the Secretary of the Air Force, clipping came to me from Australia, and I will quote this clipping. Sky saucers cause a big scare in the city. Hundreds of people saw a flying saucer over Melbourne late last night. Homegoing theater crowds stopped and gaped as the saucer drifted slowly down and across the busy Collins Street towards Victoria Dock. Switchboards and police and airlines and weather bureaus were jammed as inquiries came in about the huge object in the sky. Now, I'm sure that we have not built enough of these ships as yet to be flying them all over the world. Then, on top of that, comes another from the Greensbury Daily News, and this happened to be on October the 27th. And here's the start of it. Quote, angel hair falls at wet set where flying saucers overhead, seen by 120 school children and teachers and principals. And I hold a picture here of this paper showing that where these groups are standing and looking up into the sky and pointing to the sky. Now, the angel hair, according to this article, have fallen all around the school grounds in also adjoining property. all sorts of experts have picked up this hair and trying to analyze it for what it was. It looked like cotton candy, they say here, and all sorts of ideas. But the experts, after analyzing this fiber, could not find out what it was. They are still puzzled to this day. That's including the Air Force experts and many other types of scientists in this field. Now, let us ask ourselves a question here. If these were our ships, and there were 10 of them, according to this article, flying around here, from 2:45 to 3:10 in the afternoon, then the Air Force should know what was dropped out of the ships that appeared on the ground as angel hair. Yet they themselves are puzzled. Are they not contradicting themselves here? I think they are. On one hand, they said there is no flying saucers. Then suddenly, 10 of them appear over this little town. And thanks to the little papers that do publicize those things, because our big papers, radios and TVs, do not carry it on a large scale as they used to, something has closed their mouth, or someone, yet these little papers do. But mere fact that these things have dropped, the Air Force should have known what they were, and they're just as much puzzled as anybody, which is a total contradiction to their statement that there's no such a thing as flying saucers. Then we go on here with another article, and that is, we have a quotation or an article from a paper here, Los Angeles Herald Express, October the 8th, 1955. This, of course, has been publicized throughout the nation. And I understand also that it had been on the radio and in TV, on TV at that time. And this was on October the 8th, as I stated. So I'll quote, MacArthur foresees War of the Worlds. That's the title of it. And it's released from New York. This mayor, Achille Leoro, of Naples, Italy, don't know if spell that name correctly or not, came away from 45-minute chat with General Douglas MacArthur, quoting the predictions that future wars will be interplanetary rather than between nations on Earth. The mayor says the general thinks that another war would be a double suicide and that there is enough sense on both sides of the Iron Curtain to avoid it. However, the mayor says, added, MacArthur foresees trouble from outer space. He believes that because of the development of science, all the countries on Earth will have to unite to survive and to make common front against the attack by people from other planets, the Italian mayor reported. Unquote. MacArthur should really know what he's talking about. That is, as far as the ships and planets are concerned. For he was the general, and he is the second top general in the nation, do not forget, and should have the information direct. For while the Korean conflict was going on, I had many reports sent to me by boys that I've known before they went to Korea, and then when they come back, that saucers have been seen over Korea, over the battlefields of Korea. Many, many times, naturally, the general would be informed of them. Therefore, he would have first-hand information. And mere fact that he makes this statement proves one thing, that our officials do know that these flying saucers, as they are called, I'd rather call them spaceships, are piloted by intelligence such as is our own. For non-piloted or empty ship could not wage war, could it? ask yourself that question. The same is true is an admission by an official that is in position to know these things, that the planets must be inhabited since they were coming from someplace out of space, and that we could wage war against them. So then the planets must be inhabited, or you cannot wage a war against an empty planet or against the empty ship, could you? Very well. While I don't support the statement on the basis of war, I don't believe there'll ever be such a war. Because with all my experience, and I have plenty of them, whether the public believes it or not, it makes no difference to me. I know what I experienced. I have found no such a desire on account of those who I have contacted or ever gotten any report from other contacts. And there have been large number of personal contacts throughout the world. We are not the first ones to have made the contact. There were contacts previous to mine. There were contacts, many of them, since I made mine. And at no report has yet been brought to me showing where they were aggressive in any way or was hostile in any manner to us. So I doubt whether such a war could ever take place. But nevertheless, mere fact that General McArthur had made this statement is one thing that comes from an official dome, in a sense. While he may be not right there in the Pentagon, he still is the big boy. And mere fact that he makes this statement is an admission that these ships are coming from out of space, and like any military man, would be speculating that sometime in the future they might become hostile and we might have to have a war with them. That's natural for a military man to speculate that way. But before he can speculate that way, he must be fairly sure that there's somebody to fight. And this admission here is proof that he knows something more than the public knows, since he does speculate on such a war. That ought to be enough. What is the Air Force going to say to this? Are they ready to back it up or deny him? Are they ready to back up their statement or deny it, that they should know something about the Angel here, since they claim it's our ships? If it's ours, then they should not have any trouble in analyzing the Angel here. Still, they haven't analyzed it. Then we have another statement here where they have actually told us in plain English, in good American, that they have photographed, that they have contacted, and that they have identified the flying saucers of the sky. This particular statement came through, was published in San Diego Union on the sixth day of year 54, and was released by North American Newspaper Alliance, Washington, D.C. U.S. defense officials are baffled by reoccurring reports that an unidentified object, including one that dived to the bottom of the at that bottom and never came up, had been spotted off a boat east and west coast. Sighting, radar, sonar, contacts of the objects, boat, on and under the surface, have sent the Navy killer teams. Particular statement came through, was published in San Diego Union on the sixth day 26th day of year 54, and was released by North American Newspaper Alliance, Washington, D.C. U.S. defense officials are baffled by reoccurring reports that an unidentified object, including one that dived to the bottom of the bottom and never came up, have been spotted off a boat, east and west coast. Sighting, radar, signal, contacts of the objects, boat, on and under the surface, have sent their Navy killer teams of planes and ships rushing to the points, sometimes joined by the Coast Guard craft, including helicopters, and by the Air Force. Now, they can go on here discussing the Soviet Union submarines, which they finally eliminated from this article, saying it couldn't have been them. And go on to say then further, the report have produced an undersea flying saucer mystery, nearly as puzzling as the one touched off by the strange sightings in the sky. Then we jump, as they do double talk here, to the next part that this has something to do with the saucers. One officer asserted, so far as I know, we have not yet photographed, nor have we boarded, nor have we definitely established the nationality of any of these undersea contacts, unquote. Let us consider these statements now. Since they admit that they have not photographed and not boarded it and not identified the nationality of these undersea contacts, is nothing but an admission that the first statement made in reference to the flying saucers in the sky, the sky mystery, had been photographed and contact had been made, and that contact could not be made unless a landing took place, and identity has been established of the occupants of the ships. For if they had not, then they would have put the two together and say, no contact, no photographs, no identity has been established in either case. Isn't that the way we talk? Yet they omitted the first one and only had reference to the second one, the undersea one, which is an automatic admission that they know all about the sky ones, but they have got to learn something about the seagoing ones. Well, I am wondering what they're up to. Why such a secrecy? True, they maybe have a very good reason. Since our Air Force, or all of our services of defense, are there with a job to do, that in case of an attack, they must defend the nation. So they must always be on the alert for anything and everything that might happen. So far as we know, there have been no hostile acts performed on the part of the visitors from other planets. But there is a potential, I'll agree with them, that such a could take place sometimes. So they are on the alert. In the meantime, when they let the information out that are true information, they naturally going to get a lot of calls, wires, telephone calls, letters to the Pentagon. Well, like I was, when I was in Washington, I met one man down there that he told me, he said, it writes all right for the first day or two, but the third or the fourth day sometimes, we get a panicky type of letters. Well, when we get that, we have to throw anything out there to stop it. Well, maybe they came along in the right time since MacArthur's statement been made on the basis of future wars of other worlds, with other worlds. Maybe they did get a lot of panicky letters in there and have to do something about this and shut it off. I don't know. It's possible. And that's why they made the statement the way they did. I couldn't blame her for that, because a panic would be worse than war. So what is the next thing to be done if people are in that frame of mind? The next thing to be done would be for our religious leaders of the world to come out with the truth. And they don't have to crisscross themselves up on a religious basis, because their religion teaches that part. For an example, in Genesis, we find in the sixth chapter that the sons of God came down and took unto themselves the daughters of men. What prevents them from doing this now, if they'd done it then? Nothing whatever. Sky was always considered to be a heaven, and God was to be out there. All right, then we go, and we read where Elijah was taken up in a fiery chariot. Why fiery? Unless there was some kind of a vapor trail or even fire coming out of the ship that took him away. Enoch went the same way. Then we also find here that Jesus himself said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go prepare a place for you that you may also be there. He called this earth a mansion also. He also said he was in the world, but not of it. Now, we've been preaching all of that in our churches, in our religions. We told the people that Jesus' body was born of this world, of flesh and blood like yours and mine. All right? Then, when he resurrected that body, he took that same body with him into heaven, which is in the sky. Isn't that not an admission that a human body born on this world could be taken somewhere else and continue to live once it had a way of getting there? Why, of course it is. And Elijah proves that same thing. Now, our spiritual leader is going to tell us that they were telling us just a little fairy story all this time? Or are they going to admit what has taken place now to be the truth, the thing they have been teaching us all this time? If it happened then, it can happen now, and it has been prophesied that it would be happening. Let's get down to common sense. Now, if the ministry that's supposed to minister God's truths unto men, that they make closer to God, comes forth and tell the people the truth about these things that are now happening in these so-called later days, then the fear that causes panic would soon vanish. The whole thing would be put on the reverend side. In the meantime, our governments of the world, our defense departments and all could relax and come out with the truths they do possess. And I say they do possess, many of them. A lot better than has ever been published by anybody. And I must admit here, it is the duty of our spiritual leaders to come to the aid of those who would like to give us the truth. Now, when it comes to denying them, if it's a flat denial, either by an Aero Corporation of Canada or by any air force of the world, then I must ask this question: where were they in the biblical periods, both of them? I was in Canada, and I met quite a number of those scientists of that kind of corporation, and they have published a little article, not the scientists, but the corporation, in the press, kind of knocking the whole thing in the head, as we call it, while the rest of the press carried by articles very nicely. And as things do happen, sometime unexpected, I was asked to come on the TV program. And a government man interviewed me. And this question was brought up. The same identical, there was no such a thing as flying saucers, and that's over a year ago, and that what they was flying around was built by Avro. Well, they hadn't announced yet at that time, and yet they claimed that. So I asked them right on the TV, what were they doing in biblical times? Well, they were really shocked that I would bring that up. They had no answer for it. Neither has anyone else today. These things have come and gone and come and gone, and seem like they come in times when a man is in somewhat of a trouble and the world is in trouble. There's no denial about it. So, friends, I only trying to explain what has taken place that you may realize for yourself and analyze as you should for yourself to know it directly by your own analysis, which is the truth. So, we may just drop this case at this point and say I did the best to analyze this for you. And you take and study this yourself now and come to your own conclusion or make your own decision which you want to believe. True, a lot of people say, well, I believe you. I believe one part of your book, I don't believe the other. Your experience. Well, they have the privilege. I can make no one believe. All I can do is express my experience for others that they may believe or disbelieve. I can only speak for myself. I can only feel my own pains. No matter what, how well I try to convey them to another, he would not understand if he didn't have them. And there's millions of people that still are waiting to see this first flying saucer, not alone, have a contact, and the experience I had, and good many others throughout the world had like experience.